You're listening to Kiss My Aesthetic, your go-to podcast for brag-worthy branding, marketing, and entrepreneurship advice. I'm your host, Michelle Winterstein of MKW Creative Co. Let's dive into the episode. Greetings and welcome back to the Kiss My Aesthetic podcast. I'm really excited for today's episode because I am fresh off of a presentation at San Diego State University for some of the women in the sororities there, where I was speaking to them about building a personal brand as an asset. So this presentation is going to be a summation of what I talked about in that session, but there were some really interesting stats that I think are going to really stick with you, our audience. I know we're, I believe, mostly millennials, some Gen Xers, but I know we are growing with our Gen Z audience. So consider this a letter to Gen Z about how you can create a personal brand for yourself that actually becomes an asset in the hiring process and what your employers could be looking for, how you can start to cultivate that now so that by the time that you graduate or you're hitting the workforce, that you have something that belongs to you that you continue to build and you continue to grow and works as part of a living, breathing resume of sorts. So without further ado, let's get into it. This episode is going to cover three bigger questions, right? So why would you want to build a personal brand? How to build a personal brand? And what it means to kind of be the creative director of your own life, even if you're not a creator. So what we'll start with, of course, is why you'd want to build a personal brand. When I'm talking about personal brand, I'm not talking about influencers. And I want to make that distinction really clear from the get-go. It's not that you're using your social media because you want to be a lifestyle influencer. Maybe you do, but that's not the point that I'm trying to put across from the get-go. It's more about having some media exist digitally that's a running ticker or running encyclopedia of what you've learned and what you're interested in. So when I'm talking about building a personal brand, this means the way that you represent yourself online, but also how you represent yourself in person. So the colors you wear, the scents that you wear, how you present yourself, what your signature style is, how you speak, all of these things contribute to what we consider like a personal brand. And I think even as a young person, you can consider how you're doing this sooner rather than later. The stats that we've pulled for this presentation specifically is that there are 1.3 billion Gen Z individuals right now using social media. So social media will obviously be a big part of this topic for today because that's what I know the best. And that's where I really think Gen Z has an opportunity to build their persona and really build opportunities and network themselves. So we'll focus on the social media, but keep that 1.3 billion number in mind. Consider also that Gen Z is the first generation that really grown up with smartphones. So since they were young, a smartphone was a thing. I always feel like I have a finger on the pulse of Gen Z because my youngest sister is 10 years younger than me. I'm turning 31 this year. She turns 21 this year. So we've got that good 10-year age gap. And the way that she thinks about using the internet and the way she thinks about brands and interacting with brands is so much more accelerated than mine. And I already consider myself someone who's pretty plugged in as a millennial. So 1.3 billion Gen Zs out there using social media. What I want you to hear, Gen Z, is that 67% of hiring decision makers use social media to research job candidates, and that social media plays a crucial role in their screening process. On top of that, 92% of employers check your social media profiles for potential hires to gain insights beyond the resume, assessing a candidate's professionalism and cultural fit. So I would say that these numbers, these are pulled from Zipia and Proactive Personnel, from Go Hire, Business DIT, probably more creative leaning sources. So we want to consider that always. But that 67% of hiring decision makers and 92% of employers are going to be taking a look at your social. It's something that you want to start to think about as you are growing your own professionalism and growing your interests and growing your network is how do I make sure that what's out there is doing me justice? And I think that I came from a generation of social media as more of a scare tactic of what you should and shouldn't be allowed to post online. I remember being in Greek life, if you posted a picture with a red cup on your socials, you were called into standards committee because it was against the rules, right? That you should never have any pictures of any kind of alcohol, anything that's obviously illegal or immoral, But there were some really clear boundaries and guidelines, because when you wear your letters, you're representing the organization. And so there was always conversation of how you present yourself online as being a reflection of the group as a whole, right? So once you graduate, you kind of have this like, okay, well, who am I if there's no rules? And I think that something to be aware of is that regardless of whether you're using social media to further your career or not, you have to know that people are going to be looking in a professional sense. And also, because we know the world is changing to more of a gig economy, your personal social media can actually offer you job security. Here's what I mean. So to kind of compare and contrast millennial and Gen Z, millennials stay at their job for an average of 2.75 years. So 2 years and three quarters, and then they're out of there. 21% of millennials report changing jobs in the last year, according to Business News Daily. And 44% of millennials in the US performed freelance work. And I would guess to say that's even probably more. But what this is telling us is that at some point, almost half of millennials are taking on contract jobs, side hustles, working in a freelance capacity. Compare that to Gen Z. 65% of Gen Z have plans to leave their job by the end of the year, and 67% of Gen Z currently freelances or plans to do so with a strong inclination towards freelance work within their generation. So again, 44% of millennials, 67% of Gen Z plans to freelance. If that's the case, what that tells me as a marketer is that as a Gen Z or as a millennial, your social media is your working resume and is your opportunity to really showcase what you care about, what you do, and how you do it. So that gets us into the why you would build a personal brand. So the why is that if you're going corporate route, number one, they're looking. Number two, it could influence their decision to hire you or not. And the other reason is that should you choose to switch jobs or freelance, your personal social media becomes an extension of the product or service that you offer. So thinking about building a paper trail, essentially, something for someone to go binge and learn about you when there are no stakes, when you don't really know if you're up for a job or not, but to have something that you can consistently come back to talk about yourself and how you think is an asset to you, right? So it's something to put effort in, a little bit of effort every day, a little bit of effort, you know, to kind of structure it how you want it. And in this next section of this episode, we're going to get into the how to do that. So how to actually build a personal brand. And what I want to think about here is how the personal brand is really a reflection of your personal taste. So what things do you like and why do you like them, basically? So your personal taste is a combination of what you think and create and how you think and create. And this can be across lots of different industries. You could be an analyst, right? Let's think opposite creative. What do you analyze and how do you analyze it? And how can you create it in a way that people can recognize your ability and your personal taste for getting something done well? So the what and the how. Obviously, myself as a designer, what I design, how I design it. So I design logos, and how I design it is through this process. And I will live stream on TikTok, post the behind the scenes on Reels, share bits and snippets, share with my audience. So that kind of is what's informing someone's idea of your personal taste. It could also be food, right? What you make, how you made it. It could be fashion, what you wear, how you thought to put them together. So there's this creative expression that's happening obviously through social media, but also in person that is combining to give us your sense of personal taste. And when your taste aligns with someone who's looking for somebody with your taste, it makes that whole process of like being hired, being discovered, working with people, networking so much easier because there's like that automatic alignment. It's really common that someone could have a resume that doesn't actually showcase their taste. It's also really easy to fall down the rabbit hole of focusing only on skills and not on taste. So if you're always in the what you make, right? What do you make? What do you make? What do you make? What do you make? And you're not always showing the how you thought about it or how you created it, that can lead to an imbalance, right? Just like if you're always thinking about the how you're going to get something done and not the what, there's also an imbalance. So this is where we're kind of grappling with the idea of skills versus taste is like, how can you create and create consistently enough that you have not only the ability to get it done, but you have the concept. You're coming up with new ideas. You're putting new things forward. You're remixing things. You're taking this whole of your human experience and contributing to the conversation and not just following along and not just being kind of a voyeur on social media, but you're contributing something to the conversation. That's going to be really how you start to materialize your personal taste and materialize your personal brand. The way you can think about this in terms that maybe are a bit less pie in the sky or a bit less conceptual is thinking of yourself as the creative director of your own life. So if you're a young person, you're a Gen Z, and you're like, I don't even know who I am yet, that is okay. Just follow your interests. So find ways to follow the things that get you excited. What's the last thing that you did that you had to immediately call your best friend and tell them about? What's the last book that you read? What's the last meal that you ate? What's the last restaurant you went to or concert or outfit that you wore? You're like, gosh, this is me. Like, this just feels like me. Go more in that direction. That's my advice to you. Go more in that direction and start to take notice of when those things are happening and share them. Share them when it's something that you're like, man, I am just so proud of how this came together, or I really loved how I solved this problem. I really loved what I made, even if it's something silly. You made a really great birthday card for somebody. You made a really great plate of scrambled eggs. Like, whatever it is, figure out what's the thing that got you really excited and start to follow those personal curiosities and document them. Document them, document them, document them. Even if it's not an Instagram or a TikTok, think about a blog, Reddit, think about Pinterest, think about something that you could show someone that says, yeah, you know what, for the last few years, I've been working on this over here, and this will give you a really good sense of who I am. This will give you a really good sense of what it's like to work with me as a personal brand. So there was kind of a trend, if we backtrack a little bit and look at my socials, my personal socials are like nothing to get excited about. I think there's 700 followers. It's just me and friends from high school and college, and then some people that have trickled over from my business page. But that was kind of the point, was that as my business grew, my business is now at a place where it represents more than just me and my thoughts. It represents my team and it represents our clients. So having an outlet that was just for me, that I could post about when I wanted to without pressure of it performing, without pressure of anything other than this is a creative outlet, allowed me to separate it a little bit. There was a trend really in like 2013, 14, 15, 16, where your business account, it was all about sharing like all these personal details about yourself, right? Like, what's your coffee order? And where's your favorite place to vacation? And especially in female entrepreneurship, there was some logic to that idea, right? There was some logic of like, you need to make yourself familiar to someone who is a stranger to you on the internet. And you got to find a way to connect with them, whether it's the dog that you have or the music that you listen to or anything like that, so that you can pull them into your universe. I think that era is kind of dying off. I think as businesses become more established and more mature, that's not as necessary. Instead, it's about showing your portfolio and showing your results. Whereas individuals, we are constantly evolving and we are constantly changing and we're constantly inspired by new things. So there's going to be this, I think, shift of building a quote unquote personal brand without the pressure of having to make a social profile that performs. So you have my full permission to create for the sake of creating, not for the sense of performance, knowing that it could be this secret weapon that you keep in your back pocket when it comes to hiring, right? Because imagine if you're the person that's inspired by food and you don't know where you want to work someday and you don't know what you want to do someday, but you've always loved food and you've constantly posting recipes and you're constantly posting, you know, new flavors that you're trying and dishes that are you're inspired by or you cooking for other people. Imagine how that kicks off into something else or spins off into something else, because it may not be an opportunity in food, but maybe it's an opportunity to talk to someone who also shares your interest in food, but does something totally differently. I think where this is coming from is almost like an observation of seeing how many people are online, but not creating, and how that gives us such a sense of detachment from the larger conversation. So this is my invitation to you, Gen Z, and anyone who's listening, to create and contribute to the larger conversation without the pressure of this has to perform, this has to get me followers, this has to get me likes, this has to get me views. just make it because it's what you want to make, because you don't know if what you're making now is going to then serve you down the road, and kind of participate in the risk taking of that. Participate in the opportunity to say, you know what? I don't know where this is going to go, but I'm not going to put pressure on myself that it has to go anywhere. I'm just going to get it out there because it deserves to be out there. Maybe this is like my inner Taylor Swift monologue, right? Like, this is what Tortured Poets Department felt like. It's like, I don't care if this is the best song you've ever heard. I'm getting it out there because this is something that I've needed to make. So this is your permission to kind of take that approach and be the creative director of your life. If that sounds very intimidating to you, I've actually created a matrix. And this is what I shared with the girls at San Diego State, which is a spectrum from serious to goofy on the x-axis. And then on the y-axis, we have from sporty to girly. Obviously, I was talking to a big group of women, but I threw out 16 different adjectives that I think you could combine and mishmash into being the defining characteristics of your personal brand. So from serious to goofy, we have analytical, bold, charming, energetic. This is very similar to any other kind of branding exercise we might do for a company. You have also up the sporty, more towards girly, driven, stylish, spontaneous, quirky. We have motivated, chic, whimsical, sassy, and we have sophisticated, graceful, delicate, bubbly. So think of those 16 words that I just said, and what I want you to come back to, if you can write it down, if you're driving, don't do that. But if you are out on a walk and you've got your notes app, come back to three main words. So for our brand, it would probably be a combination of bold, whimsical, and sassy, for example. So those are the words that we're going to keep coming back to. And as I'm building my personal brand, I'm thinking about, does this content that I'm making fit these kinds of adjectives? Is this getting me closer towards that idea of my own self-concept of my brand, right? Like, I don't particularly identify with being delicate or sophisticated in any way, but spontaneous, sure. Energetic, absolutely. I don't particularly consider myself like a bubbly person, but I definitely would go into sassy and energetic, right? So think about how these brand adjectives might inform your own self-concept, and also note that they can change. You might be moody, you might be reflective, you might be more mysterious than most, right? That could be part of your brand adjective of this personal brand that you're building. And know that all of these can start to inform the type of content that you make, which gets us into content types, right? And I don't want you to walk away from this episode thinking that this is the laundry list, this is the prescription of everything that you need to make to build a personal brand. This is nothing more than a brainstorm of different ways that you can get your personal taste out into the world, right? To be able to contribute instead of just consume, and to build something for yourself without the pressure of it having to perform today, knowing that it could be something that you might want to use or might be an asset to you down the road. So the next slide I have prepared here is a spectrum from most amount of time to least amount of time, and things that you could think about to start to grow your personal brand on socials, as we're describing it in this episode, because that's, I think, what everybody can wrap their heads around, would be things like threads, posts, stories, photo dumps, trends, memes, and lip sync. Those are the kind of like the least amount of time and effort and the least amount of planning, but it's something. It's something which is more than nothing. And so we'll take it. So if you can pull together even, you know, this is a photo dump of the best coffees I've had recently, or here's a meme that I found particularly funny, and you're sharing it to your stories, or you're making your own memes, right? Sharing stories throughout your day, starting to take notice and document the things that are interesting to you. If you're more of a written person, lean into threads. Find your community on threads. The best part about threads is that you can just blurt stuff out, and then when it takes off, it takes off. But there's not really pressure. I think there's also the idea of letting go of, quote, spamming people with your content. If you're feeling like you're spamming people with your content, it means the audience that you currently have is not aligned with what you're doing. I think we can all think of creators where you're like, wow, I would love for them to do more. Like, I love Lady Gaga. I would love for her to make more music, right? I'm never going to be upset when Lady Gaga is dropping more music. So if your audience, if you're feeling anxiety about your audience and you, quote, spamming your audience, take this as permission to start a new account entirely dedicated to what you're kind of calling your personal brand, your personal zone of interest, your personal opportunity to express yourself. My sister did this for a brief time. She had the handle SD Booch Gal, where she was going to review all the San Diego kombuchas. She loved kombucha, and that was going to be her whole account was SD Booch Gal, reviewing kombuchas, talking about kombucha flavors, etc. So take this as permission to grow that niche interest into its own kickoff account. Next, on the kind of level of time intensity and thought that you might have to put into it, product demos, blogs, recipes, newsletters, tutorials, and art. More involved, takes a little bit more time and planning, definitely has the opportunity for a higher return on your time, but going to take some confidence to build to get there. So if you're someone that's like, Michelle, I don't even have an account like this yet, start with the things that are low lift. Start with the stuff that's just an opportunity to share what you're interested in and start to narrow in on those brand adjectives, the personal brand adjectives, then go more towards the more difficult direction. So product demos, blogs, recipes, tutorials, edits, vlogs, playlists, concerts, events, outfit of the day, montage videos. Like, these take a little bit more time. They take a little bit more effort, but it is getting you closer towards producing content regularly that communicates your personal brand. And then at the pinnacle, at the top of this pyramid of all these types of content that you can make to communicate what you do and how you do it, podcast, web show, articles, book, album, right? So as an artist making an album, putting together an entire show, if you're a fine artist, right? Events, things like that, stuff that take a lot of planning, things that take a lot of effort, but have really the opportunity to showcase what you do and how you do it well, that would be more towards the podcast, articles, web show types of content, that really long form, really involved thought pieces, contributing something to the conversation, inviting other people to contribute along with you, and creating a something for yourself that makes you have a bit of a paper trail, like we were saying before, right? Like the breadcrumbs that get you to you don't even know where, and that's kind of okay. So for anyone's Gen Z who's like in college, going to be graduating college soon, my biggest piece of advice to you from this episode is consider building a personal brand for yourself, not as an influencer, not particularly as anyone who's going to monetize off of the personal brand from the get-go, but figure out, what do I like? What do I think? What do I make? And how do I do those things? How do I decide this is cool? How do I decide that this is what I want to make? How do I make it? How do I think the things that I think? And find ways to share those things as almost like an exercise, right? Almost like going to the gym and getting your reps in. How can I do this on a regular enough basis that I can start to create a backlog of what I thought? And my recommendation is going to be that to do that in a public-facing way. So whether that's social media, within your community, the way that you carry yourself, your personal fashion, your personal style, start to do that in a way that you can lean back on. And for me, social media feels like a really logical way to do that, because it's something that you guys know. And it's something that you could show someone who you're applying to work for their company, you want to collaborate with them, you want them to hire you, you could show them, say like, yeah, actually, I've been doing this since, and be able to scroll all the way back to the beginning. It's going to give you that air of legitimacy that I think could be a real, real asset as you're in the workforce, knowing that over 2/3 of you will freelance in your lifetime, and that 60-something percent of you are going to jump jobs at least once. So consider it as something that's just a little insurance policy, little job security opportunity to be able to pull out that card when you need it. I think that's my biggest recommendation for anyone who is just about to hit that phase in their life. If this was helpful to you, or you need to see more examples, of course, you can head over to my personal Instagram at michelle.winterstein. It's linked in my business bio. Obviously, my business account is mkwcreative.co. And yeah, I invite you guys to challenge yourselves and really put yourself out there, start to document, start to create a little sliver, a little corner of the internet that is for you and your interests, because I really do think it will serve you in the long run. If you loved this episode, please share it with a friend, share it to your stories, write us a review. We would love it, of course, and we will catch you next time. Thanks so much. Thanks for joining us for the Kiss My Aesthetic podcast. Don't forget to follow along and leave us a review anywhere you listen to podcasts. We'll see you in the Kiss My Aesthetic Facebook group for years and years of behind-the-scenes content and over 5,000 connections with fellow creatives. For show notes from today's episode, please visit mkwcreative.co/podcast. This episode was edited by Berta Wired, and theme music comes from Eliza Vera and Nathan Menard. Catch you next time.